First John chapter 4, verses 17 and 19. These are God's words. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And this, the love of God, was manifested toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. And this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, then we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. So the apostle is telling his readers, and we are among his readers now, to love one another. But in order to tell us why to love one another, and how it happens that we may come to love one another, he goes all the way back into God himself. He says, let us love one another, for love is of God. Beginning of verse 7. And God is love. End of verse 8. And then God is love, again, middle of verse 16. The fact that God is love, that means that everything that love is, God is. God is more than just love. But everything love is, God is. And within himself, among the Father and the Son and the Spirit, as this passage teaches us, the great thing between them is this mutual love and adoration and fellowship that is within the Godhead of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three persons, one God forever. And so not only is everything that love is, God is that, but within himself, love is the great everlasting fellowship and relationship. There is not wrath within God himself. There's only wrath as his creatures are considered in his decree, who would sin. But there is no sin in God. And so wrath is an expression actually of the love of God for himself, of his holy and infinite commitment to himself, and what that must mean for those who sin against God. And so he says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. That's where it comes from. That's what he's like in himself. When we love one another, we get to do something, to participate in something that has its source, has its origin within the Godhead. And so he says, everyone who loves is born of God. Love doesn't come from something on earth. Love doesn't come from any natural resource. The sun, you know, shines out energy and it gives light, and there are all of these created things that are secondary or subordinate sources for these other things. But love has its source in God himself. Now, this means we have to redefine love a little bit, because there are many things that are not truly love, that are called love. We know from this passage that only that which has at its source, as its heart, as its cause, the love of God for himself, a wholehearted commitment to God, and delight in God, and adoration of God, and fellowship with God, all of those things that the Father and the Son and the Spirit have together for forever and ever, only that is called love. That's why the first great commandment has to be the first great commandment. Because if loving your neighbor isn't an expression of love for the God who created your neighbor and love for the God in whose image your neighbor was made, then it's not actually love for your neighbor. Because it doesn't come from that commitment to God that has its origin in God. And so he says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. So that when we love each other the right way, when we love each other the Bible way, because God made us, and because God made the other one, and because we are in the image of God, and the other one is in the image of God, and this is what God has given us to do and to enjoy, we are doing something that comes from having been born of him, having the new birth from the Spirit. It doesn't come from the flesh. And as we know the love that we have for one another, we know God and his love for one another. And that's what we are enjoying in our knowledge of one another. Now this he makes clear much later in the passage when he says, in verse 12, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us. Now that's important language in John's writing. We're in his first letter, but if you look back at his gospel in the first chapter, you have verse 18, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. And he's just been describing how the Word is God from forever, and the Word is with God from forever. His being in the bosom of the Father there in verse 18 is parallel to his being toward God or facing God in the beginning. Earlier in the chapter, almost at the beginning of the chapter there, He's saying that God had given us Jesus as the only one in whom we see him, the only begotten of the Father, who, when he became flesh, you could behold his glory as the one who is full of steadfast love and faithfulness. Now, we don't physically lay eyes on Jesus right now. We know even the God-man, even our Savior, even the Redeemer, in a very similar way to how we know God the Father. By his word, by the Spirit giving us faith to lay hold of him. You know, Peter says, whom you have not seen, you love. Whom you have not seen, you believe in him. And we haven't seen him. But we do see one another. And we do see one another's love that comes through faith in Jesus Christ, from the character of Christ, by the Spirit who gives us the life of God in ourselves. And so it's not quite the same because we're not Jesus. But the love that we have for one another has the same origin. It comes from the same place. And so he uses in 1 John 4:12 similar language to John 1:18. And he says, no one has seen God at any time. But if we love one another, God abides in us. And his love has been perfected in us, has found full expression in us. Very similar to when Paul says that God told him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. It doesn't mean that that Paul in 2 Corinthians 12 became almightily strong. And when this says his love has been perfected in us, it doesn't mean you have come to love as perfectly as God does. But it does mean that the perfection which is God's strength is displayed in the sphere or by in the sphere that is Paul's weakness. And then here, the perfection that is God's love is displayed even in our love for one another. And then he says, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. Because there's something when Christians love one another for the sake of loving God, and because God is loving through us and has given to us to love like he does, to some measure, says, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. Only from the new birth, says verse 7, only from the Holy Spirit, says verse 13, does this love come. And it's the same Spirit and birth that make us see and testify that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world. So what does God the Spirit produce in us? He produces in us not just a love for one another, but a love for one another that comes from a love for the Father and a love for the Son and a love for the Spirit. And an understanding that the reason we know that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is that the Father has sent his Son into the world. By this we know love. Verse 10, and this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. We didn't have love in ourselves, he had love in himself. And he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And so that's why this love is connected to believing that the Father is God, and that the Son is God, and that the Spirit is God. Verse 15, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him. Okay? So there are two things that come only from being born of God, verse 7, born of God, verse 7, and having his Spirit, verse 13. One of them is loving one another, but that loving one another comes from the other one of those things, which is knowing that Jesus is the Son of God, and that God has given us his Son, has given us himself in his Son. And so he says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. If you don't know that Jesus is God, and that when God gives his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, which means that the Son has to become a man, because God cannot die, and God cannot bleed, and God cannot suffer wrath. But Jesus had to do all of those things for us. That's why in Acts 20, when Paul tells the Ephesian elders that the Holy Spirit has made them overseers in the church, he says about the church that it has been bought with the blood of God. And the church of God, which he bought with his own blood, he says in Acts chapter 20. We have known and believed the love that God has for us. And so the love that God has for us is that he who is love in himself has now loved us by giving us himself. And if God has given himself to be the atonement for your sins, to take away the guilt of your sins, to take away the punishment that your sins deserve, when you come to the judgment, are you going to be afraid? No, you're not going to be afraid. Because God judges especially by his Son. His Son is the great display of himself. And his Son now has humanity added to himself, in which he has paid for our sins. And the God-man is the visible one who sits on the throne. You may see manifestations of glory that perhaps are indicative of the Father, but they are not the display of God himself the way the Son is in his incarnation, even now in his resurrected glorious state. And what will you see on the throne? Whom will you see on the throne? The Lamb who has been slain, the one who has taken away your sin. You will be adoring in love the judge, because he is the one who died for you. He's the one who gave himself for you. He's the one whom the Father, though he loves him with perfect divine love from all eternity, having loved you in the Son, has given for you. And so when we come to the judgment, we won't fear. Why? We'll be too busy loving him. You won't be afraid of him, because you'll be adoring him, because he died for you, and he is yours, and you are his. That's what verse 17 through 19 are talking about. It's not just saying, well, because of the transactional nature of justification, I am not afraid today at this judgment, because I know that I am righteous before God. I mean, you wouldn't say it in that voice. You will know those things. Those are theologically true. But what verses 17 through 19 are saying is that if the love of God that came from being born of God, verse 7, and from the Spirit of God, verse 13, is what has been producing in you love for other believers, then what will your love for Jesus be like when you come to the judgment and you are loving him with the love of God? You're loving him the way the Father has loved the Son from all eternity. You're loving him with love that comes from the love of the Spirit for the Son for all eternity. Now read and hear again verses 17 through 19. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. So right now in this world, believers who are loving one another are having a love that comes only from being born of God and knowing God, verse 7. So if that's what it's like for you in this world, when you're dealing with one another, what will it be like for you at the judgment when you're dealing with him? Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Now, it's true that because he loves us, we'll not be afraid of him. But that's not what verses 17 and 18 are focusing on. Verses 17 and 18 are focusing on how much we are going to be loving him when we see him. And we'll be so full of love for him, which comes from knowing his love for us, that we won't be the slightest shred, the slightest particle afraid at the judgment of torment, because we'll be loving him who first loved us. Verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. And that's why this passage is the passage that we'll read and hear and pray before singing, My Jesus, I Love Thee, especially with a view to the last day and all eternity. Would that we had opportunity. I know we've probably had half an hour of teaching just now, and we can't do that at the call to worship and the public worship. But God the Spirit help you to remember the teaching of this passage, so that you can see where all Christian love for one another comes from now, and how you love Jesus now, and how you will be perfected in loving him when you come to see him at the judgment. And then you will be prepared to sing well the thoughts of this passage in the first song of the Lord's Day. Let's ask God to bless to us this passage. Oh, Holy Spirit, how we thank you that the Father and the Son have given you, that the Father has given you by way of the Son unto us, so that we might see and testify that Jesus is the Son of God, that God is love, and that God has given himself in love, and so God has given his Son in love, and God has given us you in love. Make us to abide in God. Make us to get our spiritual life, our new birth, through Jesus Christ, from Jesus Christ, by your almighty work, O Holy Spirit. so that the love that you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have from all eternity in yourself and among yourself would produce in us love for Jesus, love for one another, that even though to a lesser extent, yet still truly, those who see believers love one another would be able to see what God is like in himself. We thank you that although no one has seen God at any time, you gave your Son, O God, that the only begotten who is in the bosom of the Father might fully reveal you. And we know that we will not fully reveal you. And we ask for faith in Jesus Christ, that the light of the knowledge of your glory would shine in our hearts in the face of Jesus Christ. But we do wish, Lord, that that love which comes from you would be visible in our lives. And though not fully revealing you, yet we would to some extent truly reveal you. So help us to love you first and foremost with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And grant that from that love that we have for you, we would therefore also love one another as Christ has loved us, and love our neighbor as we love ourselves, and make display of yourself in us, even in this world, so that as you are, so would we be in this world, and so that when we come to the judgment, we may have confidence that we may, when we come to the judgment, we will be so perfectly loving Christ that there won't be any room for fear. Oh Lord, when I think about each of my children and what it will be like for them at the judgment, I pray that this is what it would be like, that you will make them to have known Christ's atonement for them and to be so full of love to him that they are adoring him who sits on the throne so perfectly that there is no room for fear. Grant that they and my wife and I would love you because you first loved us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.